Aduma, the parasha begins. Zos chukas haTorah. It says Adam kiyamas, and it says a person dies. He's tamei mace. The only way to cleanse a person from tumas mace is para aduma. And para aduma is a very interesting type of procedure. The whole procedure of para aduma is like it's called the quintessential chok, which means it's the epitome of something that we can't really understand. The only one ever really understood it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to explain it to you, but to no one else. It's only Moshe that's going to know what's the reason for the Par Adumo. But the Par Adumo is Metaris Tameim and Metames Atahirim, which means that the person that was handling the Par Adumo, he was a Torah person. When he finished handling the Par Adumo, he became Tameh. That's strange, because the Par Adumo, the people that afterwards were exposed to the Par Aduma is the one that became Tar. The only way to be Matar from Tumas Mace is through the Par Aduma. So it's really kind of like, it seems to be a contradiction. The Par Aduma is difficult for a person to understand. As a matter of fact, Shlomo HaMelech said, Ech kema v'hi rechoyka mimeni. Ech kema v'hi rechoyka mimeni means I tried to understand it. V'hi rechoyka mimeni, and it became far from me. So, with the Mefarshim explain, what does that mean? Shlomo HaMelech is trying to understand the following thing. How is it that a person becomes Tahar through the Par Aduma? So, he tried to become a Chacham, Ech Kema, he tried to like delve into it. And once he understood that, but he said, hold on a second. So, why is the person handling the Par Aduma become Tameh? Obviously, there's an element of Tumah when it comes to the Par Aduma. So, then he started like thinking about, why is the person handling the Par Aduma becomes Tameh? And then he understood that. He says, hold on a second. So why is it that a person that gets sprinkled with the meh par aduma becomes tar? So you kind of like, even when you understand it, you don't understand it. So you're stuck. That's what happened with the par aduma. Now, there's a fascinating story the Gemara speaks about in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Aleph about a par aduma. And it's a relatively famous story. It's quite famous, actually. The story is talking about the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. And the Gemara says, Kedushin Amid Aleph, they asked, Kibud av va'em, how far does it have to go? Says the Gemara, Tzu uru'u, go look. Go look. And the Gemara brings an example of Par Aduma from a guy, actually. The guy's name was Dama ben Nesina. He lived in Ashkelon. Now, the Ben Yoyada says the reason why his name is Dama is because he's an example. Dama is, he's an example, a Dimyon, like, he's a Dimyon, he's an example of what Kibud av va'em is. This is an irregularity. What he did was totally irregular. I don't know why he has to be from Ashkelon. It's an interesting thing. It says, Tzuri from a guy from Ashkelon. And his name was Dama ben Nesina. I don't know what Ashkelon. Ashkelon is the southmost city in Eretz Yisrael. It's the border of Eretz Yisrael. But I'm not sure if it's for any particular reason. It has to be Dafka min Adarim. Al Kofanim, what happened was the following thing. The Chachamim were looking to buy a precious stone. What were they looking for a precious stone for? They were looking for a precious stone. Anyone know what it was for? So it says over here in the Gemara that we have, and it was for the Ephod. Ephod and the Choshen are kind of connected. The Ephod is up here, the Choshen is over here. But the Yerushalmi actually says it was for the Choshen. We're going to focus on the Yerushalmi. Anyway, they're looking for a very precious stone. Apparently one got lost. Now, it got lost, and they had, in the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of funds, so they were willing to spend a lot of money, and they met this fellow named Dama ben Messina. I guess he dealt in precious stones, or at least he had one. And the problem was that in order to get to the precious stone, he would have to wake his father. Either why did we have to wake his father? There's two versions. Anyone know what was his father? Why was his father necessary? Either the key was under the pillow, or the actual stone was under his feet. It was something like that, okay? There's different versions, Bavli and Yerushalmi. But either way, you'd have to wake his father. Was he willing to wake his father? Now, they offered him a hoin rav kesef, a lot of money. He did not wake his father. And I guess they couldn't wait till tomorrow. And they got it from someone else, I guess. Anyway, he had born to him a para aduma. According to Yerushalmi, that night, para aduma was born. And para aduma is big bucks, my friend. Big bucks. It's hard to find a par aduma. Anytime they find what looks like a par aduma, it even makes it into like the world news, and they think that they find it because it has to be every single hair has to be red. And a par aduma is worth a lot of money. So the Chacham came to him to buy the par aduma. He says, listen, I know you guys. I know you're going to spend a lot of money on par aduma. I just want the amount of money that I would have gotten for the jewel. In other words, I don't want to lose any money on my kibud aveim. So there's a few different things that are interesting about this story, which we're going to speak about. The first thing is, you see that a guy gets paid back in this world. Right? Hashem did it, like mita keneged mita, boom. That night, he got a parah aduma in order that he should get back his money. We don't necessarily, not looking for a reward in this world. Hashem's going to pay us for our mitzvahs, and we get paid in our mitzvahs in Olam Haba. Right? This world is not necessarily a place where we're going to get a schar, but if a goy doesn't believe in Olam Haba, or doesn't necessarily have a chelek, kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek Olam Haba, we get paid in the next world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goyim, however, he pays immediately. But it's an interesting thing. Why did Dama ben Nesina get a para aduma? Why was that a schar? Why didn't he just do very well in business? Why didn't Hashem get him like a he'll go fishing, he'll find a fish, and inside of it he'll find a diamond or something? Why did he get a para aduma? So Rabbi Yitzchok Mivarki says the following pshat. He says, the MS is, this could be a kitrig on Klal Yisrael. It could be that you see, look, a goy is the epitome of kibud aveim. Look how much money a goy is willing to spend on kibud aveim. So according to kind of like counteract that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, a guy is willing to spend money on kibud aveim. Kibud aveim is a mitzvah that people understand. It makes a lot of sense. So goyim are willing to spend money on mitzvahs that make a lot of sense. But look at the yidim. A yid is willing to spend money on mitzvahs para aduma, even though it makes no sense at all. It's a mitzvah that they don't understand. It's the quintessential choik. And still they're willing to spend all the money that they have. In order to counteract, to balance out, to show, it's not just the goyim that are willing to, and not only that, yidin will do something that doesn't make any sense to them, that they have no understanding it, and still they're willing to drop their money. That's in order to balance out. There shouldn't be a kitchug on Klal Yisrael. However, the Meshech Chochma says a different pshat. And the Meshech Chochma says, based on the Yerushalmi says, Baruch atah Adonai. And Shvili Pinchas brings this in Ayin Ches. Yerushalmi says that what they came to buy was one of the stones of the Eifo. The name of the stone is the Yishve. And the Yishve is the stone of Binyamin. Oh, it's on the Choshen, there was 12 stones. Each stone represented a different Shevet. And the stone that they were missing was the stone of Binyamin. So why was it the stone of Binyamin in particular that ended up by Dama ben Nesina that Klal Yisrael was looking for? And what did it have to do, Dafka, with the Parah Aduma, and what was going on here? So we'll start like this. When did this whole story happen? Let's try to figure out what there was time of the Beis HaMikdash. Was it the Mikdash Rishon or the Mikdash Sheni? Well, the Parah Aduma, the Gemara says that we had leftover, Moshe Rabbeinu did a Parah Aduma, and we had leftover ashes from Moshe Rabbeinu's Parah Aduma all the way until the Bayis Rishon. So there was no need for a Parah Aduma during the Bayis Rishon. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that Afer was no longer around. They needed a new Parah Aduma. So when Klal Yisrael is looking for a Parah Aduma, obviously we're talking about second Beis HaMikdash. Okay. In the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Beis HaMikdash happens to be, was built in the Chelek of Binyamin. What was it about Binyamin that was different? So, Chazal tells the following thing. Everyone else was involved in the entire story of Yosef. That debacle, that disaster, which was the machlokes between Yosef and his brothers. So, all the Shvatim were involved aside for Binyamin. Binyamin was the only one that wasn't. And the Meshech Chochma takes the following twist. Says the Meshech Chochma, who was the person that was hurt the most from the story of the machlokes between Yosef and his brothers? Who was hurt the most? Yaakov. It was really about their father. And when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he said, Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai, was basically saying that Yaakov Avinu went through tremendous torture over what happened. So really, this whole debacle, this whole thing that happened, was a pegiya in kibud av va'im. Kibud av, in this case. It was, even though we're not getting along, but if we would think about the amount of pain that it's causing to our father, so then we'll look past our differences. Or if we would have the right respect for our father, maybe we wouldn't even notice our differences. We'll have to see exactly how that works. But the point is as follows. Says the Meshech Chochma that the reason that it was particularly the stone of Binyamin was because of the following reason. Binyamin was the one that was not Poigeya in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im. So in order to highlight mitzvah Kibbutz Ava'im, so it was Dama ben Nesina, who he was the person who was willing to spend all the money in the world not to wake his father. Not to wake his father. Why? To show the how much Kibbutz Ava'im we had to have. And it came through the stone Davka of Binyamin. Based on this Yerushalmi. Now, Meshech Chochma adds the following thing. He adds that what was going on in the time of the Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni was an introduction of what's called the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim were people who, they were koifer in the Mesorah, which means that they didn't necessarily care about what the previous generation said, how they interpreted the Torah. They're going to interpret the Torah themselves however they see fit. Which basically means that if a person doesn't have respect for the previous generation, doesn't have respect for his elders, so then he says that, you know, it's not binding to me how someone else understood the Torah. I'm going to take my own understanding based on what it appears to me, and that's what I'm going to abide by. The Tzedukim were lacking in that respect for a concept of the Mesorah of tradition, of what was handed down from father to son. And that dafka happened in the time of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was a time when there was some sort of lack, or there was a desensitization to being desensitized to the importance of a person having tradition. So therefore, Davka over there, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to bring out this point by having this whole story happen with Dama ben Nesina. And why was it that he had Davka the Parah Aduma? A Parah Aduma also has a similar type of dynamic. Because the only one that really knows the reason for Parah Aduma is Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk says, V'yikhu elecha Parah Aduma, which we said, only Moshe Rabbeinu knows the reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing this idea of an appreciation for someone who is older than you, who is from the previous generation, or having respect for your elders. That's what is trying to be brought out. Now somehow, the Bayis Sheni, the flaw that we had was dafka not in that idea, but it was a flaw in Sinas Chinam, which is the same flaw that the Shvatim have. So apparently, there's some sort of connection. There's a connection to not appreciating your elders, and then having a sinas chinam amongst each other, amongst people that were his peers. And I believe that the idea is as follows. There is no isser of Lashon Hara to speak about a guy. What is allowed to speak about? It's not about the fact that a person doesn't speak nicely or anything like that. The idea is that Klal Yisrael is supposed to be seen as one. We're supposed to be seen as one unit. Ra is really a lashon of pirud, which means that things are broken. But when Klal Yisrael is supposed to be united, so therefore the whole idea of Lashon Hara is when a person sees someone's flaws, it's because I see myself as being separate from him. There's nothing that's uniting us. A person doesn't see flaws in himself. He sees flaws in others. So if we would feel like we are together, so then I wouldn't speak poorly about you. To speak badly about a guy is not an isser. Maybe it's not kind, but it's not the isser of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is only for something you're supposed to be united with. What unites us? What unites us is going back to our source. So to quote the chief rabbi of England, the Lord Emmanuel Jacobowitz, he said, there can be no brotherhood without fatherhood. Which is, if we're looking to try to create Achdus in Klal Yisrael, we have to be able to have fatherhood. We have to be able to respect our elders. So this, that there's a pigia in Bein Adam, in Mitzvah Kibbutz Av, is going to create that there's not going to be also harmony amongst the brothers. So this, that the Shvatim didn't have the right Kibbut Av, is what allowed them to have their Machloikas. This, that, in the time of the Tztukim were saying, we don't have to necessarily show any respect to previous generations, is what created there was going to be sinas chinam, there was going to be baseless hatred amongst each other. This is the same idea. In order to try to scale that back or rectify that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending us the message of Kibbut Av. Kibbut Av is a respect for your elders. There's a famous story about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, somewhat famous story, that he was on a plane. He was in an advanced stage of his life, and he was sitting in business class, and he had his children or his grandchildren were sitting in the back of the plane. And they were constantly coming to check on him to see how he's feeling, if there's anything they could do to help him, or anything of the sort. And there was someone else who was there with him on the plane, who also had family, or, I don't know, on the plane, but also had family. And he said to Rabbi Yaakov, he said, I don't understand. Why is it that your children are so gracious, and they take such good care of you, my children? They think I'm a pest, and they totally ignore me. And Rabbi Yaakov answered the following thing. He said, according to our tradition, man comes from Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan was Adam Kodem Achet, was the epitome of human being. And we have our forefathers Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The closer you go back to that, so the more precious, the more important you are. So therefore, we can respect the previous generations as they're getting us closer to our forefathers. You believe that man came from a monkey. So the further you get from the monkey, the better you are. So the children have no reason to respect the elders. The elders should respect their children. So therefore, they don't have any respect for you. But our Yiddishkeit tells us that the previous generation has a tremendous amount that we could learn from them, and we can respect and we can gain from them. That is the message that we have here of the story of Dama ben Nesina. The Dama ben Nesina, even perhaps blown out of proportion the amount of respect he had for his father, because we don't really need to have. Kibbut Av doesn't go that far that a person should blow all that money just not to wake his father. But there is something to be learned. Tzuru'u, take a look at what Dama ben Nesina did. And the idea is that if a person shows respect for his elders, so then he is not going to lose. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk actually gives us a havtacha, l'man yarichun yamecha. Not only will he have scharno olam haba, but he'll have arichas yamim. Sometimes when our parents ask us for things, it's like we feel like we're losing out. They want us to do this, they want us to do that. We're like, you know, like they're taking from our time. Because Baruch Hu says, don't worry about your time, because if you do the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Em, I'll make sure you have all the time in the world. I'll get you back your time. So you'll get Arichas Yamin. So anytime a person feels like that his time he's spending with his parents is too consuming for him, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a avtacha, l'man yarichun yamecha, you have a richas yamim, you'll be zoicha to do whatever, you'll have the time to do whatever that you need to do, whatever it is that you want to do. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.